play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when it comes like the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2022 Farmers Insurance Open. One of the big ones, most will say, starts the season off because all the big dogs are there. So it should be a lot of fun. Before we get into that, make sure you check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. If you give a rate and review on iTunes, we would appreciate that as well. I am on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm doing well. Who day, man?
Yes, Houdet for sure. Yeah, I forgot. You always forget you're a Bengals fan, but yeah, big win. Yes. Should be a big game yeah. This weekend.
It was a good weekend overall. You know, football, and then obviously I didn't really watch any of the golf. Did you watch any golf?
I was watching
Thursday, Friday, but I didn't watch it Saturday, Sunday.
I would watch it before football would start, and then in between the games, we'd always have a little break, and then like halftimes, like on the early games. So I was in and out. I wasn't like dedicated to it.
Well, it was a clusterfuck, just like we thought it was going to be.
Oh, yes, 100%.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know how to explain it.
Well, I saved a couple. Like on Twitter, there's always some gems here and there, so I take screenshots of things that are worth talking about. So for fun, the optimal lineup spent $43,000.
Yeah.
Spent $43,000 of your $50,000 for you keeping track at home. Mm-hmm. So you could have left $7,000 on the table, which nobody in the right mind would ever do on the face of the plane. Like I use the optimizer on Fantasy National, and I still go through each lineup because someone have like $2,000 left. I'm like, okay, I got to tweak this. Like I'm not leaving $2,000 on the table. Yeah. They left $7,000. They used Swafford, who obviously won, Harmon, Hoagie, Lanto, Lee Hodges, Molinari. No Magic 8-Ball would have taught you that one.
No, it's not happening, man. I mean, in the top. I mean, five there, basically, like, I mean, we talked about Harmon a little bit and Swafford. Yeah. Lanto hadn't been playing great. I don't know who the fuck Lee Hodges is. And Tom Hoagie, I mean,
I liked Hoagie.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the radar. Yeah. But for, like, a second place finish, no. Yeah.
Then Molly. Molly, baby.
Yeah, Francisco's there. I really thought that it was Cantlay's after his first couple rounds. I just thought it was, like, he's going to run away with this. And then he's just... you know, kind of sputtered over the weekend. And Rahm didn't play great. Still shot 14 under and finished 14th. But expected more out of him. That's just, to me, it's my least favorite tournament of the whole entire year.
Yeah, I prefer the, like, AT&T, the one in Pebble, more than I do the Amex. Like,
because at least on Sunday, we're, you know, getting some good views and you're watching guys play.
Yeah.
Three really good courses. Those courses out there, I mean, like, do I ever want to make a special trip to go play La Quinta? No. It's not going to happen.
The worst part is the courses, they're at their best and most beautiful in the summertime when it's 110 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends that go and they literally tee off the second the sun crows over the crest at like 5:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So they're done by like 11:30.
Yeah, I guarantee it. And it's not brown.
That's the thing is the whole place looks green. It looks beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But like you go early, otherwise you like fry to death.
It's crazy. In the desert. But you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I think the probably reason that they don't, I thought about this over the weekend, is they don't change this up. I'd say that golf tournament just raises ungodly amounts of money for charity.
It's gotta be.
Because I'm sure the entry fee to play three rounds with these pros out there is 25,000 or 30, whatever it is. And it just raises so much money. So I get it to a certain extent, but just from like the golf fan in me, like, it's just like, this is the worst, man.
Yeah. Cause I know like Pebble, talking to some of the people I know that actually play in that tournament, it is a lot of money just to get your name on the list, basically. So right. I can only imagine what the one in, you know, down south at the Amex is like. It's got to be pretty big because you don't see a lot of the celebrities. So it's a lot of big name companies putting up their CEOs to get into that deal.
Exactly.
Where, you know, the pro-am, it's the celebrities like, we're going to go do this type thing. So,
yeah.
And a lot more shenanigans take place on that one than you see at the Amex. So definitely different. But another thing we talked about is we talked about a lot of long shots, and obviously Hudson Swafford takes it down, played great. Like it was fun watching like Barjon
Yeah, man. I saw his name up there and I thought of you.
Yeah, like that's back-to-back weeks. He was 6,200 the week before. I had a ton of Wesley Bryan at 62. If I could just continuously do that all year, we're going to be great. But the odds of that happening, slim to none. But Hudson Swafford was around 200-1 to win this thing. And it just goes to show you this event. Siwoo was 60 last year. The year before, Landry was 200-1. The year before that, Adam Long was 500-1. You had Rahm won at 8-1. Then you had Swafford again won this thing at 50-1. And then those are all kind of 40s, 50s, 60s. But the last few years, monsters are taking it down, and it could anybody on that leaderboard was pretty much a monster. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a classic putt fest, but with the added, like, with the added burden of having to play with dude to her shooting 45.
Yep.
You know, so yeah. So, I mean, it's a mental grinding. You know, I mean, it probably takes a. Yeah, I mean, special kind of dude to put up with that shit sometimes. As good as
they play, that's why they play three courses. It's like seven hour rounds of golf. I can't do it. I get fed up when I'm playing a scramble and it takes, and you know those take forever because it's just scrambles you think shouldn't take forever, but they take forever if you're in the wrong tournament.
Yeah.
And there's some by like the 15th hole when we're on like hour six, I'm ready to just, I start walking. I get out of the golf cart and start walking around because I'm like, this is freaking miserable. But I'm a quick pace kind of guy. If I can, like, you know, play ready golf type thing, let's go. So, it's a tough one. The other thing I was going to ask you is you didn't watch a lot of golf, so I'm pretty sure you didn't watch this, but it was on every morning on Golf Channel before the Amex came on. And it was, I forget the name of it now, but it was down there in Florida with the LPGA and their Pro-Am. Did you watch any of that?
No, I didn't see.
That was fun to watch. Now was that was. The women were playing just amazing golf. Daniel Kang came back and won it. Nelly Korda. I was watching a lot. It was weird, but the Pro-Am was mainly a lot of athletes, baseball players, some football players, a fish, the golfer was there. I mean, the tennis player was there. Annika Sorensen was in the celebrity bracket. She, I can't remember if she won it or almost won it, but it was really fun because they teed off on the same tees as the women did. And it was interesting. So
yeah.
I thought that was down in Florida. I thought that was more entertaining, at least, than the Amex was.
But I'm with you.
I digress. Let's talk Farmers. Farmers, this is a big one. Like, I kind of made the tongue-in-cheek joke, but it's true. This is like when the season kind of starts. We still have the Pro-Am next week with Pebble Beach, but then you got Waste Management and Genesis. Like, we start getting into the grind of let's play some big boy golf. And the Farmers is because you got Torrey Pines in play. So why don't you give us some past event history on the Farmers Insurance Open?
One thing right out the gate, Wednesday start.
Yep.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
I didn't know because my screen kind
of froze. You froze for a couple seconds, but yes, Wednesday start. We're good.
Good old Spectrum. So last year, Patrick Reed, a few questionable drops, 14 under, five shots over Finau, Hovland, Norlander, Palmer, and Schauffele. 2020 was Mark Leishman, couldn't hit a fairway, still shot 15 under. One shot over John Rahm. 2019 was Justin Rose, 21 under, two shots over Adam Scott. 2018 was Jason Day, his second win here, 10 under in a playoff over Noren and Palmer. 2017 was John Rahm, 13 under, three shots over Howell and CT Pan. Brant Snedeker won this tournament in 2016 before a hurricane blew in, 6 under, one shot over KJ Choi, who had a lead and then got caught in like 75,000 mile an hour winds and blew it. So there's a lot of big names up there winning this tournament.
A lot of big names, and most of them, not all of them, obviously, because Brant Snedeker is there and even Patrick Reed, they can pipe it quite a ways.
Yep.
And that's a big thing at this golf course because we're playing two courses, being a pro-am and all in short times a day like usual. But we're playing Torrey Pines North, Torrey Pines South. You play each of them. One Wednesday, one Thursday, and then you get to play the South course Friday and Saturday. This is where they had the US Open last year as well, for those that do not know. But you want to get your money made at the North course because it's only about 7,250 yards, where the South course is 7,760 yards, over 500 yards of difference. It is the longest course on the PGA Tour when there's no majors involved. Last year, it was the third longest. The first longest was the US Open at Torrey Pines, and then I believe it was the PGA Championship that Phil won was the second longest last year. So usually year in and year out, Torrey Pines is the longest golf course. Torrey Pines South is the longest golf course on tour. And what you need to do, like I said, score on the north course. It's got bent grass greens. The south course has POA. You're going to hear POA, POA, POA a lot because I play on POA and it sucks at certain times of the day. It's just the way it goes. You learn how to deal with it, but it's one of those that grows fast. It leaves marks from people playing in front of you a lot more than other golf courses. It's you'll see putts that get hit and kind of get some weird bounces once in a while on TV, and you'll get angry golfers. And it's very, very entertaining to say the least. Like one, like Dustin Johnson, I remember in years past, flat out said he hates playing on the West Coast because of POA, but he's here this year because he didn't make the tournament champions. He always likes to play at least one tournament before things get going. Well, here he is. But long golf course, the driving distance is huge. Some of the more narrow fairways in all of golf. So driving accuracy is nice because these are small greens and you want to obviously want to stick the greens if you can. It's harder to do out of the rough. But as you mentioned with Leishman, he couldn't hit a fairway and still won. The rough isn't super penal, especially if you're hitting it farther down. Think like Bryson DeChambeau at even the API and stuff like that is something to keep in mind. Other than that, a lot of scrambling is going to be involved. Like I said, small greens, you're going to want to save pars, like bogey or better, or bogey avoidance, I mean, is a nice little stat to add into your usual like scramblings and off the tees. And you're going to look at a lot of approaches from 175 to 200 and a lot over 200. Most of the par fours are 450 to 500, and most of your par fives are 550 to 600. So you're going to want to look at those as well. But it's a big boy course. You'll see some names pop up from time to time. And when we get into the picks, it was one of those where I had to do my modeling, but with so much past event history, I looked at guys that have done well here. I also compared them to courses like the Genesis, because the Riviera is a tough golf course with POA. Wells Fargo, very long, long golf course. It's not POA, but the parameters are very similar in theory. And then you think of tough courses like API and whatnot. So if you can kind of garner anything from those tournaments, I would take a little gander out of that. But overall, it's tough. Like eagles are very hard to come by here. And the birdies, like the ninth hole, the 13th hole, and the par, and those are all the 9th, 13th, and 18th are all par fives. They have a better than 30% birdie rate. The par 5-6 is better than 40% birdie rate. Other than that, get your popcorn ready. So if par five scoring will be somewhat important. I wouldn't garner it all on that, but it's going to be pretty important. So what stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, driving distance or off the tee, stroke skin off the tee if you prefer. Greens and regulation or stroke skin approach. And then plenty of course history as well. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where if you look at a lot of the past winning scores, obviously over the last few years, it's made it to double digits, but there was a stretch there of 3 years where, you know, they didn't make it to double digits for the winning score. It was 600, 900, 900 from 16 to 14. I think that a lot has to do with weather. I looked at the weather. I don't see any issues. There's really not a lot of wind that I saw so far in the forecast. So, you know, I think birdie or better is probably where you're going to want to lean. As far as that goes.
Yeah, as far as I know for now, it's supposed to be pretty nice here on the West Coast. Like we're talking low 70s, not much rain in the forecast this week. So I think we're pretty good there. And it's in La Jolla, California. So Jesse mentioned, or no, that was before the show, we were talking about Pebble. You're going to get a lot of great ocean views at La Jolla too. It's a beautiful golf course. My buddy lives about 10 minutes from there and plays the North and South at least once a week, one of the two once a week, because you get a nice discount living in the, like, it's ridiculous the price they get to play that golf course. So it's ready to rock and roll. It should be a fun one indeed. Dom is in the chat saying let's go boys. So good to see Dom. He's one of the long timers here. But before we get into the picks and all that fun stuff, a couple things at fanshare.com. If you're looking for awesome ownership tools and other tools they are developing at Fanshare Sports, go check them out. Promo code always press gets you 20% off the package of your choice. Just a couple things. You can tweak all kinds of things to search on, but DraftKings scoring over the last six events, just guys coming in good form. Justin Thomas, Sam Burns, John Rahm, Hideki Matsuyama, DeChambeau, Leishman. Just remember, a lot of these guys, a lot of these tournaments were not from the last few events, so keep that in mind. But these will kind of make it a little different. Last six events on POA. POA greens, you got Patty Reed leading the way, John Rahm, Bryson, Brooks is putting well on POA, which interesting. Berger and the Nick Taylor, which makes sense. Pebble winner there, Nick Taylor. And then last six events, par 72 over 7,400 yards. You got Jordan Spieth leading the way there. Aaron Wise, Will Zalatoris, Sam Burns, Taylor Gooch, Scotty Scheffler. So a couple of extra names to keep in mind when you're kind of breaking the goods down for this field. But let's just get right at it. DK picks for the Farmers Insurance Open. 10K and above. You got Rahm at 11.2, JT at 10.9, Hideki at 10.6, DJ at 10.3, Xander at 10.1, Berger at 10,000. They all rate almost 13th or better, except Berger in my model. So what do you like here?
Yeah, start with John Rahm, obviously. I mean, it's number one player in the world. He is what he is. He won the U.S. Open here last year, finished seventh, finished seventh earlier in the year before that, hasn't finished outside the top 10 since 2018, does have a win. I mean, just goes without saying. I think that, you know, JT always gets ownership. So I'm just kind of looking at Hideki, man, at 10-6. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2016. Finishes aren't necessarily great. 26, 53rd, 45th, 3rd, 12th, 33rd since 2016, which was his only missed cut. But coming off the win, has two wins in his last three starts. The one was middle of the road, finished at the tournament champions, whatever. But, I mean, I just feel like Hideki is going to be overlooked in this range. And could be wrong on that, obviously, but people don't like to play Hideki, and Rahm, JT's going to get ownership. DJ's going to probably get his own. You know, Xander's typically decently popular, so I'm leaning towards playing a lot of Hideki this week.
That worked well for me at the Sony because I kind of had a similar mindset there that he's going to be the overlooked. He gets overlooked at almost all these fields because he's priced high, like you said. So that's definitely something to think about.
Oh, and Berger. Sorry, I didn't mention Berger. I forgot he was 10,000, but I'm on Berger too. I like Berger. Go ahead.
Real quick from Dominic, he wanted to mention 11 of the past 13 winners here at a top 10 at the Farmers before they won. Rahm making his first start, and Stallings were the only exceptions.
One other thing too, I saw on just a trend from Jeff at the Fantasy Grind. Seven of the past eight winners, except Day and 18, had made at least one professional start in the calendar year before winning.
I have noticed like there's something just about being ramped up, and that's what's kind of. I almost missed our start time because I was going through literally everything on Fantasy National going, I was like, click on each player profile, how they do in the courses I mentioned, other things. And because like they didn't rate out good, I'm like, the way they play golf would fit this course like beautifully. And you got to think about it, the last X amount of tournaments, they haven't been the longest courses or the most challenging courses. Right. So if you're looking at like longer stuff and favoring this, that, and the other, they're not going to rate out well. And I also used, I did my normal stats, and I also made it on difficult to score because this is a very difficult to score course, and that changed things up a boatload. If I took difficult off, it was pretty interesting to see how things straightened out, but definitely gives merit to, you know, playing regularly, playing on tough courses, playing on long courses. And I'm with you. Rahm's the go-to. It's obvious, you know, won the U.S. Open here. He's won the Farmers here. The dude's elite. Like, he had his probably C-plus game last week, and still only finished, what, seven off? Like, he could have easily torched that field at any given time.
He missed in Saturday, too. I don't know if you saw some of the low lights clips from Saturday for him, but yeah, he was just lipping shit out left and right.
Yeah. It was fun watching him because, you know, most of us amateur golfers, we will have a lot of four-letter words when we play golf, or we'll show, like, some silly emotions that most of us think we're stupid for. Rahm was showing those all the time. That's one of those I wish I was following him, because when the camera was off, he was probably just letting it fly. So it would have been really fun, but he's in play every single week if you want to. I love the Hideki call. He's 13th in my model. He's fourth in approach in difficult scoring conditions. He's second in bogey avoidance. He's fifth in DK scoring, which is going to DK scoring should be lower this week, I'll say. So a guy that can actually score pretty well, that's pretty tremendous as well. The proximity game, the iron play we always talk about with Hideki, flourishes at events like this. So I like Hideki quite a bit. I'm nervous about DJ, like that stat you mentioned, having to play at least one round. Hasn't done that. I don't think he's even played in the Farmers, at least not in the longest of times. So I'm avoiding DJ. Xander's going to be very popular. He's second in my model, second in approach, first in par five scoring, sixth in par four. Like, he rates out beautifully. I'll have a couple sprinkles, but he's going to be probably the chalk in this range. So I'll avoid it. And I do like the Berger call. I think he's a great pivot off of Xander here. He's 27th in my model, but he's still, you know, fourth in bogey avoidance. We know he can pipe it from time to time. Just depends on, does he got the putter going or not? He could be a nice contrarian play, but I think Hideki might be the dude here, or this might be an old-fashioned week, Jesse, for the regular listeners of the show. Let's just start in the 9K range. There's so many options. You got Bryson at 99, Burns at 97, Brooks at 96, Scheffler at 95, Spieth at 94, Sungjae 93, Willie Z at 92, Finau 91, Leishman 9,000. Lots to like here.
Yeah, start with Brooks for me. He finished fourth here last year, $9,600. This year, he's made a start this year at the Tournament of Champions. I do think we see a different Brooks overall this year. You know, obviously DeChambeau, Burns, Scheffler, Spieth. I'm not going to talk anybody out of playing those guys if they want to. Sungjae has never missed a cut here. Four straight made cuts. Now, his best finish is 32nd, so it's not like he's lighting this golf course up. Come off an 11th place finish last week. Zalatoris talked about him last week, and he played really well, especially on Friday when he shot 61. Finished sixth last week, so he's got that start in the belt. Now, his course history is not the best. Missed cut seventh. Okay, missed cut in at the U.S. Open seventh last year at this actual tournament, and missed cut the year or 3 years before that. So the seventh place finish is really what you want to focus on. I like Will Zalatoris quite a bit this week. Finau, very playable. He did miss the U.S. Open cut, but a few months before that finished second at this actual tournament, and does have a couple starts already this year. So really, I like Will Zalatoris more than anybody else here. But I'm with you. I mean, like, just fading the top the 10K and getting, you know, being able to jam in more people, you know, quote unquote better golfers, I would get on board with that this week, especially, you know, for smaller field events or smaller tournaments.
Yeah, the 6K, and it's not as forgiving as I think in recent weeks. We'll have a few we can probably talk about of interest, but I think kind of loading up a couple guys here in the 9K might be a little more feasible as we get going here. But usually I'm not the biggest Bryson fan, but I kind of like him this week. I really do. He's eighth in my model. He's first off the tee. His putter is playing great of late. He's second in par five, first in driving distance, second in par four, first in proximity over 200 yards. Like, he's got it all going. I know things can get haywire with Bryson at times, and it hasn't been like the best overall run of late with Bryson DeChambeau. T25 of the century is really nothing to, you know, write home about. Was there 33 golfers in that field? So not elite by any means. And he hasn't played since 2018. He obviously played the U.S. Open, but he missed cut in his two times at the Farmers. But that was before he was this let's bomb it and go crazy guy. It's a totally different Bryson showing up here this go-around. So I'm very intrigued with him at $9,900. At the same time, I love Sam Burns. $9,700. He's played very, very well at this course, T18, T49, T40 the last 2 years, and his current form coming in is outstanding. So I like some Sammy Burns to play with. You know, like you said, if you want to go Scheffler, that's fine. I think Spieth is interesting. If I could see Spieth coming in low-owned, 18th in my model, he's second and around the green, which I think is going to be very, very important because he's great at saving those pars. He's actually 10th in the par five scoring. And most importantly, I wouldn't have guessed this looking at this, but in difficult conditions over the last 24 rounds, he's first in DK scoring. That stood out to me in a big, big way. So a guy like Spieth at $9,400, if he's coming in pretty low-owned, I think he's a great pivot in this 9K range. Willie Z is a great play. Curious to see what his ownership looks like after last week, and people already loved him to begin with, so that's going to make things a little tough. I like Finau a lot at $9,100. You know, you mentioned last year's T2, T6, T13, T6, T4, his last five events at this golf course at Farmers Insurance Open. So I like Finau quite a bit, and if you want to go leash, you can. I don't mind it. So I love this 9K range. Three or four guys that I'll be using a ton of in my 20 max builds. 8K range, we got Gooch, Connors, Reed, Matty Wolf, who just went destructo last week. I was thinking Bezenhout, McNeely, and Palmer round out the 8K range. What do you like here?
Yeah, I mean, Gooch up top there. Been a rough couple weeks for him. He had to play with Kevin Na, who's notoriously one of the slower players on tour. Apparently, he's a pretty fast player, and then he had to fucking deal with all that shit last week at the American Express, and he missed the cut. I mean, if you weren't shooting 300 every day, basically just go to the house. Last week, and he starts with the 75, which just puts him way behind the eight ball, just much like Matt Wolf. Matt shot, what did he shoot on the first day? Like he shot like a lot. Yeah 78. Yeah. And he backed up with a 67. But I think going back to Gooch, you get a little bit less ownership. Corey Connors, you know, dude, ball striker extraordinaire. He's made the cut both times he's played this event. He did miss the cut at the U.S. Open. But, I mean, you know, how much weight are you actually putting on that when the course is completely different? Another guy who started really bad last week, but had been playing really, really good golf before that. You know, 11th, 22nd, 40th in his three previous starts to the American Express where he did miss the cut there. Is it a Pat Reed week?
Not for me, no.
Well, I guess we'll just skip over him. I mean – Not a Pat Reed week for the dude who hasn't ever missed a cut here. Did withdraw in 2016.
I don't blame anybody for playing him. It's just I think there's more. I don't know. It sounds bad since he did win the darn thing, but I think there's more win equity at different guys in this field. He doesn't seem like he has the winning form right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. No, I totally understand what you're saying. McNeely 8200. Dude can go low on par fives. Has not missed a cut since the Shriners back in October. Played the Sony, finished 27th. Just playing really good golf, solid golf right now. Ryan Palmer at 8,100, another guy who I think could do well here again. He finished second here last year at this event. That's his second place finish at the event. And is coming off a really solid Sony Open where he finished 12th, scored a shit ton of DraftKings points, was not owned, will not be owned again this week at 8,100.
Yeah, it's a good range as well to pair with your 9K. I love the Gooch call at $8,900. He's 12th in my model. The last couple of terms, like you mentioned, not his cup of tea, as they say, but 18th in DK scoring, 13th in proximity, 175, 200. So definitely a guy that can get it back on track at a course, I guess, and also, hits it decent off the tee. So he can be just fine here. I don't mind going back to Matty Wolf. I was heavy on Matty Wolf last week, so that stung. I think it's a great week to go back and get to him because this is a guy that can – he's eighth in the field in driving distance. Even after last week, I know that we only had one course's stats in here, but fifth in my model. He's a ninth at approach. He's 10th in bogey avoidance, 10th in DK points, 16th in proximity. He's like he rates out very well in almost every statistical category I'm looking at. So I don't have a problem going back to Matt Wolf, and he usually plays these tougher courses very, very well. You mentioned Palmer, and he's a great play. I wonder how popular he's going to be, because the thing with Ryan Palmer is he's always very good at certain courses. Like, he's a course history guru. Like you mentioned Sony, he's always played good at Sony. He loves playing here. He's finished very well here. Like you mentioned, the two top two finishes. He rates out very well here. I like him at $8,100. And the other guy I do like here a lot is Max Homa. If you're looking at comparison courses, he's won at the Riv. He's won at Quail Hollow for the Wells Fargo. He plays really good West Coast golf to begin with. Plus, he's coming in pretty decent form, like not the best of form, but decent form. Where is Max Homa? Here he is. T15 of the century, missed cut at the RSM and 35th at the Houston Open. And then most importantly here, T18 last year, T9th the year before. So definitely going to play these courses. I like him a lot, actually, at $8,400. A guy that has that win equity that we could see kind of popping in this kind of event. So some really good options here in the 8K range. 75 to 79, you got Bradley, Rose, Kim, Billy Ho, Neiman, Lanto, Hughes, Tringali, List, Molly, Wise, Day, Hoagie, Norin.
Yeah, Keegan at 79, I think, is interesting. I mean, obviously, he does better at places that aren't putt fests, and he's done well in the past year. 16th, 35th, 5th, 4th in his last four starts. He did miss the cut in 2016, but pretty solid for Keegan, coming off a 12th place finish at the Sony Open. Rates out pretty well on the model. Neiman at 77 has never missed a cut here. Now he's his form coming in, maybe not the best, but he's not played since the RSM. He did miss his last two cuts. He missed the cut, the RSM and the Houston Open, but it's been a couple months, so I'd imagine he'd been working on some stuff. Lanto, man, I hope Lanto has a good year. Last year was a down year for him. It looks like maybe he's figured some shit out. I don't know. Played well last week, finished third. Does have decent course history at the U.S. Open last year, 35th, 7th, a few months before that at this tournament. And then, yeah, Molly, man. He played the U.S. Open last year, finished 13th, finished 10th in this event last year as well. And he had a shitty year. He had a terrible year. So, I mean, sixth place finish. He might be super popular at 7,600. I don't know. But I do like Francisco at 76 quite a bit. And then, man, my model loves Luke List, dude. And I just, I hate it whenever he's loved by my model. Four straight May cuts at this event. Yep. Come off of 22nd last week. Had a, pretty solid fall swing. I don't know how much I'll play him, but, he should do this. This hypothetically would be a place that I would think that he would do well at, with the length and then obviously the ball striking and not having to make every single putt on the green.
Yeah. It's like you said with Keegan, it's not a putting contest. So he fits much more in this mold. He rates that well for me too. I got him checked off. He's 32nd in my model here. If I took out the difficulty rating, he's fourth. Like this, the key stats I'm looking at, I love him fourth in driving distance. He can get going at any moment of time. If he finds that putter, it's enough. It's almost like if he just gets zero strokes gained putting, just don't be a negative. He's probably going to finish pretty well. So definitely someone to take a look at for sure. But I'm with you on Keegan. I got him checked off as well at $7,900, 33rd in my model, great off the tee. All the approach metrics are very, very reasonable. So again, no putting contest. He's good to go for me. I'm interested in Neiman, 20th in my model, but like he hasn't played, like you said, this whole in a while. And that's kind of slightly concerning to me, but he's playing great golf before he kind of shut things down for a little bit. And his approach game is one of the better ones on tour. So he's intriguing to me. I'm not sure how heavy I want to go, but it could be one of those weeks to get a low-owned Joaquin Neiman and flourish with it if he's ready to rock and roll. I'm with you on Lanto, a guy that, you know, can pipe it. And he's played very well. This is where it was like this range and below is where I really started to kind of look at models slash, you know, how these guys fare in recent tournaments on similar golf courses. And I was using my little, you know, theory in my head. Wells Fargo, we finished 26th last year, even on a bad year. API finished 21st. Genesis 26th, Farmer 7th. So he played these types of courses very, very well. So, and coming off that great week last week. So I'm in on that one. Another guy I was looking at was Mackenzie Hughes at 77. Hasn't played since the RSM, which is slightly concerning, but man, did he crush it of late. He hadn't missed a cut since the Memorial on June 6th in any tournament he played in. He's been playing very, very well up to that point. So he's on the radar for sure. I just don't know. But he missed the cut at the Wells Fargo, which is slightly concerning. 32nd at Genesis, missed cut here last year. So maybe these courses don't fit Matt Hughes. Maybe let him get his feet wet, go play him at either Pebble or Waste Management, something like that. But it's a guy that's playing great golf up to this point. And the toughest one for me here is Cam Tringali, fourth in my model. Fourth. I'm just like wrapping my head. He's fourth around the green. He's fifth in par fours. He's fifth in proximity, first in bogey avoidance. I'm sitting there like scratching my head. So we dig, and that's what we figure out here. And we'll look at Cam Tringali, T18th, T49th, miscut, T58, 73rd, his last 5 years here. Not the greatest, but T18, not bad at this price point. So I go to see if my theory checks out. We're going to see if it checks out. Miscut at the Wells Fargo. Not great. But 31st at the API, 26th at Genesis, 18th here last year. West Coast long course, potentially decent low on play at $7,600. I can go there. Love the Luke List call. I'm with you on Molly. Another guy played really, really well at the Genesis and this tournament last year. It's probably going to be high owned is the problem. A guy we played a ton in the fall swing that I'll be all in on is Aaron Wise at $7,500, 14th in my model. Putty keeps getting better and better. He's fourth in DK scoring in these types of fields. And again, he hasn't played since the Houston Open in November. That's slightly concerning, but 26th, 15th, 5th, 8th, pretty much in his fall swing before he took a little breather. I like that. He was 9th at the Wells Fargo, which stands out as a pretty nice round as well. Did not play here last year. So first time, at least in a couple years, to show up here. And then I'll be back on Tom Hoge. He's similar to Luke List. He's 83rd in my model, but if I took difficulty off, he's a top 10 in my model. So I would maybe not go super heavy. Maybe doesn't play great in difficult tournaments, but he could keep that current form. It's a different Tom Hoge than we've seen recently, the way he's playing golf right now. So it could be something to think about. And Dom Walton, who's a sharp dude, says, if it's a tough course, basically give me Matt Hughes. So something to keep in mind. Like, he's playing great golf. The layoff more than anything kind of concerns me, but these guys also get to play pristine golf courses at all times, so I shouldn't be too concerned. 7K to 74. What do you got?
Start off with Brent Snedeker, man. I mentioned him last week, and he was like 69, and I decided to go with like get cute and play some other guys who ended up sucking, and he finished 14th. The dude has played really well around this golf course, at least since 2019. He hasn't missed a cut. He does have that one win, which was kind of a bit of a default, but in 2020, you know, he still finished third, 32nd last year. I like him quite a bit at 74. Mito at 74 as well. He hasn't played. He hasn't played since the RSM back in the fall. He's never played here, but I think he's good enough. Woodland at 73, the model likes him. He's played well around here, generally speaking. He's missed one cut since 2016. But I mean, three straight missed cuts coming in. I don't know how much I can trust it. Matt Jones at 7,200, I think, is super interesting. He's made every cut here since 2000 that he's at this golf course, including the and finished dead last of the guys who made the cut last year at the U.S. Open. But he's made every cut since 2018. He missed the cut then, but everyone since then he's made the cut. He's coming off the missed cut at the Sony Open after, you know, almost winning the Tournament of Champions. But I think going back to him at 7,200 is fine. And then that's it for me in this range.
All right. So here we go again. Keith Mitchell, 92nd, my model. Not the most appealing thing. He was 8th off the tee, 11th in par 4 scoring, driving distance machine. We usually like him on Bermuda greens. I know.
I had him clicked off too, man. Then I looked at his course history and I was like, no.
Of course, that's where his course history, 3 straight missed cuts here at T63. But you look at that recent form, 7th, 12th, 41st, 56th, 3rd. That 3rd of the CJ Cubs, at least a decent field, one would say. And then I started digging. He was 3rd at the Wells Fargo last year. He was 43rd at API. But then he missed the Farmers, missed the cut here, obviously, last year. So it's kind of a, where do we want to go with this? How do we want to approach Keith Mitchell?
I would say, especially if you're playing a bunch of lineups, I think he's a good GPP play for that reason. Because most people are going to look at the course history and not want to click. But, yeah, I'm with you. I know what you mean.
I looked at him like, oh, man. So I dug in on this one. He's one that stood out to me at 74. I think Cam Davis at 73 is very, very enticing. He's 24th in my model. Another guy that, you know, 15th in driving distance, good in proximity of the ranges we're looking for in this deal. He finished T30. He's made 4 straight cuts here. T32 last year was his best finish at this course. And he's coming in with a T27th at Sony, T10th at the Century. So I think Cam Davis is definitely someone I like at $7,300. Kevin Streelman will come in low owned. He's not a big bopper, doesn't hit it far as 111th in this field in driving distance, but 9th in the par 4 scoring, 6th in bogey avoidance, 15th around the green. He's $7,300 and he's played pretty well at this tournament. T37, T45, missed cut, T29, made 4 of his last 5 cuts here. So if you're looking for like a low owned guy that can make a cut and hopefully make a top 25 run, Streelman's interesting for that regard. And then another guy similar to Keith Mitchell, Wyndham Clark, 89th in my model. 3rd in driving distance in this field, 26th in bogey avoidance. And you look at like his recent performances, he's got a T32 miscut T35 here. So not horrible for a tournament type play, but it gets more fun with Wyndham, who actually putts well on poses best putting surface to knock that one out of the park right out the gate. But then you dig in 43rd at the Wells Fargo. He was like 60th at the Valspar, which is a tough course as well. But 32nd at Farmers last year, like we talked about. At the Genesis, though, he was 8th last year. So he's played some of these West Coast courses as well. 17th at Genesis back in 2020. So definitely a course that Wyndham, another tournament guy similar to Keith Mitchell, could make a little run for you at 7,200. And then Alex Smalley at 71. And last but not least, you didn't ask, but I'm going to tell you, it's P-Rodge week. Patrick Rodgers is $7,100. This is a dude, we're on the West Coast, we're on POA. Miscut T9, miscut T4 here. This is what you get, GPP style with Patrick Rodgers at $7,100. But he does like himself some POA putting, as we know, and does well on these kind of courses. So 37th at Wells Fargo last year, 12th at the Genesis last year, missed the cut here. So P-Rodge at 71 is on my radar as well. 6K range, what you got?
Svensson, I'm assuming that's how you say his name. We talked about him last week. I played him. Svensson. So 6,900. He's never played here, but coming off a decently solid week. 49th at the American Express, 7th the week before that at the Sony. Just didn't have a great Sunday. And if you're not shooting under par at the American Express, you're just losing a lot of strokes. Apparently, Vince Whaley has changed his name to Vince Whaley. I don't know.
Wow.
So I saw on the leaderboard, they had him as Vince Whaley. Another guy who played last week, finished 40th, 17th the week before that at the Sony. Bramlett at 6,700. 2 straight make cuts at this event for him, 18th and 45th the last 2 years. At the American Express, he was actually around the lead there for a little while. Didn't have a great weekend. Shot 1 over on the weekend and ended up finishing 33rd. Harry Higgs, man, he was right at the lead. Now Sunday. He shot 77 on Sunday to fall back to 40th, but has made two cuts in a row. at the Farmers. So I think he is very playable at 67. And then how about the disrespect for you, dude, Paul Barjon?
I know. I got him checked off again. Just keep fading him, folks. That's all I ask. Keep fading the boy.
I mean, you know, obviously, miscut here at the U.S. Open last year is his only start at this event. 10th place last week at the American Express. Is it a good comp? I don't know, but we're at $6,400 here. I mean, yep. You know, like you talked about, you know, the dude bombs it off the tee, right? I mean, it's
what, yeah, that's why the drive.
Yeah, the stats averaging 311 off the tee.
I think the stats have him 58th in this field. I don't think there's that many guys that hit it that far in this field. Watching him at the Amex, especially Sunday, because he had the final group coverage, piping it past everybody in that group. It was insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so at 6,400, I mean, again, we're way down here, and that's a guy that I would consider playing, even on like 3 max.
Yeah, no, just for his price point, literally make the cut there, and we've seen him get hot. Like, he was hitting shots yesterday that were pretty impressive. And he started out with like two straight bogeys. Then he goes birdie, birdie, like eagle, birdie. Like, he's a DK scorer, man. So buckle up. That's all I got to say. But 6,400. Sorry, do you have anybody else down there?
No, I'm that's it.
Okay. I'm with you on Svensson at 69. Just, you know, he hasn't played here before. So it's almost like just save 500 and go to Barjon. That's kind of how I feel about it. But I like where he's playing. Like, his iron game's pretty darn legit. CT Pan at $6,900 is someone I had checked off here. He miscut T66, T35, T2 back in 2017. Again, big time iron player. That's what kind of stands out for him in these events. And you check back, Wells Fargo finished 18th last year. Obviously, he did well in the Olympics, if you want to go there, but Genesis finished 20th as well. So if you're looking at comp courses, CT Pan at $6,900, get him at some low ownership in this field. For sure. And then some other guys, Bramlett, I'm with you there. He's probably going to be very popular. He's 19th in my model, but Cecil Peets and Mayo are all talking him up already.
So yeah.
Have fun with that one, folks. I do like Harry Higgs. I'm with you 100% on that one at 67. Go back. Hopefully people have a sour taste in their mouth for that one. And then a couple other here, not named Paul Barjon, who I'm a big fan of. Scott Piercy at 65, good old West Coast player, third in par five scoring, sixth in DK scoring in this field at $6,500. Obviously, he can't putt. There's other issues. That's why he's 6,500, but plays very well on these courses. Similar vein, I talked about him on the fan share spot. Nick Taylor, he's 49th in my model, 12th in putting on POA, 42nd in DK scoring. He's someone that could strike it for you at 65. And then another 6,400 guy I had checked down, and I had to do some searching, so he's 123rd in my model. But JT Poston. T18 here last year, T40, T73, his last three times at this golf course. 25th last week at the Amex, 42nd in the Sony. So hopefully finds some rhythm. The fall swing was very brutal for him, but back-to-back made cuts. He was playing great golf before, 26th at Wells Fargo, 43rd at the Genesis, 18th at Farmers last year. I think Poston at 64 is kind of might get overlooked in this field. He's a tour winner. He's a pretty good golfer. So 6,400 is interesting. And if you want a full punt, If you want a full punt, Brandon Hagee at $6,100, 11th off the tee, 6th in par or in driving distance in this field. It's good. It's messy though. It's like all or nothing with Brandon Hagee. So just keep that in mind. But 26th at the Wells Fargo, even second at the Honda, 42nd at the Farmers last year. So at some tough events, he's played very well. Even like the Memorial, if you got 50th, which is not an easy golf course, and he's $6,100. So not the worst punt you can make. All right, let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, who you liking?
I'll say Hideki.
I don't hate that. To be different, I'll say Berger, but I like the Hideki call quite a bit. 9K range, who you got?
Zalatoris.
I'm going to go with, man, it's a tough one. I'm going to go with Bryson, but I love this 9K range. 8K, who you got?
I'm going to say Gooch.
I'm going to go Max Homa. Max Homa's my dude. 75 to 79.
I'm going to say Molly.
I like that. I'm going to go with Aaron Wise. And that's tilting because he hasn't played this year, but that's where I'm going. 7K to 74.
Snedeker.
This is where it gets fun. I'm going to go Wyndham Clark in this range, but some fun GPP plays there. And then 6K.
Higgs.
Barjon. Let's stay on brand here. Mm-hmm. All right. If you're starting out a cash game lineup, who are three guys you're starting with this week?
You know, I would probably go Zalatoris. I think Palmer is very cash worthy. And then, you know, I would maybe venture to put Sneds in a cash lineup.
I don't hate that. I go with Streelman, Palmer, and I think I would be willing to go with like Finau. But if it wasn't Finau, I'd say like maybe Max Homa. But it's an interesting cash week because it's such a tilting golf course. Like two bad holes could really make it tough to make a comeback. Starting a GPP though, great GPP week. What are you starting out with here?
Finau, Gooch, and McNealy.
I like that. I would go with Max Homa, Keith Mitchell, and Wyndham Clark. Build around that however you want. But boomer bust, GPP style. Now the fun part, as we check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the odds, because it is a deeper field, you get some fun odds here. Who do you got winning this thing?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Finau 25, there's value there. Brooks at 35-1. Mm-hmm. If you want to go a little bit deeper, Franny at 80, and then Sneds at 110.
I like that. Wolf at 50 stands out if he can get it going because he's good enough to make that happen. I think Max Homa at 70 is – I like that a lot because I do believe in his overall game. I like that that Sneds call it 110. That's some nice value. If I had to take a long shot – most long shots don't win here. But if I had to take a long shot – man, as I scroll down, I don't like him more and more. Let's go with man Hoffman. He was playing such good golf for a while. He just disappeared. Let's stick to the guns. Give me Killer Keith at 100-1. If we gotta see if he can run pure on this one. But are any other things that stand out to you? T5s, T10s, T20s. A lot of fun ones here for sure.
No, but like if you want to, like my parlay did so great last week with John Rahm and a bunch of losers, except for the Bengals. Obviously, I didn't. Call the Bengals win, but you go John Rahm, Cincy, San Francisco, it pays 64, almost 65-1.
There you go. That's a big payout. I like that a lot. A couple T20s like Wyndham Clark's 40-1 to T20 or 400-1. Sorry, 4-1. Cam Davis, 4-1. Those are kind of interesting ones. You want to go a little deeper here. Nick Taylor at 5-1. He can run hot at these kind of golf courses. Harry Higgs at 6-1 coming off last week where he fell apart late. Maybe he makes a nice little comeback for you there. And then if you want to go deeper, Barjon 7-1 at the top 20. I don't think – then JT Poston at 9-1. I still don't understand that JT Poston price, but maybe I'm just overanalyzing JT Poston. But all right, Jesse, final thoughts for the Farmers Insurance Open.
I don't. Just don't forget it's a Wednesday start, so yep, get your lineups in Tuesday evening.
That's the way to do it. It's a Wednesday start. So, yeah, buckle up, get it going. Good thing it's a West Coast start. So, if you forget and wake up early, you have a little bit of time to lock it in. But some good stuff there. But as always, if you guys have any questions, come join us in the Fantasy DJs Discord. We could help you out there. Or just hit us up, you know, watch us on YouTube, wherever. Ask us questions on Twitter. Jesse's at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intric. And until next time, good luck, everybody. The show goes on all night till the